But I want you to take a moment and imagine if you were one of the disciples, or if you were the one that had followed Jesus and you were in that crowd, and you got to witness that personally. Just take a moment and imagine that. Your friend, your teacher, the one you gave up your job for, the one you left your family for, the one that you've been following for 3 years. Now he's dead. Crucified. Could you have said something? You know, the crowd was shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You watched as he was beaten, and you watched as a crown of thorns was pushed on his head. You watched as he was forced to carry a heavy wooden cross to Golgotha. You cried as you watched his last hours of pain and suffering, till he shouted, "It is finished." And he breathed his last breath. And as he died, it felt like something inside of you had died as well. Your dreams were shattered, your hope turned into fear, and your purpose now seemed purposeless. For 3 years, you'd been his disciple. You had listened to every word that he'd said and spoke, and as he'd spoke to the crowds, and all he had wanted was everything from you, and you gave it. All he asked was that you believe, and you believed. You followed. You watched him do the impossible. You seen blind men get their sight back. You watched lame men walk again. You'd even seen Lazarus raised from the dead and live again. You had believed with all your heart, but now he's dead. And as you think, it seems like, what do you do now? What do you do now? You think about your past and your present and even your future, and I guess, what's left now? Do I go home? Do I leave Jerusalem and go back to fishing? Go back to collecting taxes? Is this what I do? As you watched your dream shattered, as Jesus was captured and beaten and crucified, dead and now buried, maybe you're afraid that that might happen to you as well. But then you hear something. You hear the words, "He's alive. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive." Amen. He has risen from the grave. And suddenly your heart is filled with hope. You jump up and you run and you rush to discover that Mary had seen the empty tomb. Mary had seen the empty grave clothes, and then Mary had seen Jesus. Jesus wasn't dead. Jesus was alive. Jesus was alive, and everything was going to be okay now. Amen. Can you imagine being a part of that? Imagine being one of those disciples in that place. You know, instead of his mourning his death, we're celebrating his resurrection. We're celebrating him being alive, not dead. the sadness of Jesus' death on the cross. When you think about that, it's sad. The pain that he went through, the things that he endured, the hours that he endured it. Not just a 6-minute show. You know, the focus changes when we think about the resurrection. It's not the death, it's the life that we think about. We think about the life. Jesus is alive and the tomb is empty. And there's a purpose. There's a future. And now there's hope. Amen? You have hope? You know, if Jesus' story had ended at the cross, hope would have died with it. But it didn't. Without the resurrection, following Jesus would have been pointless. Our belief in the resurrection is central. It's a central point to the Christian life. We believe, as did the early church, that Christ is risen from the dead and there was actually a physical resurrection. The miracle of the resurrection really happened. It really happened. I believe that. That's where my hope is. When we look back at the events of the first Easter, we are looking at more than just history. The events of Easter changed history. The events of Easter changed our destiny. Amen. In Romans 4:25, the Bible says Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. In Romans 6:3-11, it says, "Have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful self was crucified with Christ that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus." The focus of Easter is Jesus coming to earth, being nailed to a cross on our behalf, and rising from the dead 3 days later. Amen?
Amen?
We believe in the risen Savior. Jesus defeated death, and death could not contain him. Amen?
Amen.
Sin has and its effects are defeated. Sin no longer has a grip on us. Amen? Sin no longer has a grip on us. This is certain hope. Just as Jesus was raised and restored, we will be raised and restored with him. Amen? I can't wait. Amen? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to break the power of sin in our lives. And Jesus came to bear our punishment for all of our sin. Jesus came to die on a cross in our place. Then on that Easter morning, Jesus was raised from the dead so that you and I could be forgiven, so that we could believe, so that we could repent and be born again, so that we could be assured of an eternal life and a place in heaven with God, the Father, forever and ever. Amen. That's for eternity. That's eternity. We all have eternity to face. I want to face it with my Lord and Savior. That's where I want to spend my eternity. All you have to do is just reach out and accept it. All you have to do is reach out and accept it. Jesus overcame the grave, and he's still alive and available for you this morning. He wants to have a personal encounter with you this morning. I remember when I had my personal encounter with him. I'll never forget it. But it wasn't the only one. I still have that personal relationship with him, and I have encounters with him every day. Amen. That's that personal relationship that we can have with our risen Savior who is alive. Jesus overcame the grave. He is alive, and the tomb is empty, and Jesus is alive. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all talk about it. They record it. And each of them, from their own viewpoint, there are no contradictions in it. The accounts are, they blend this beautiful narrative when you read it, when you put them all together. It's such a, the first people to see Jesus alive after the resurrection were the women who went to the tomb early that Sunday morning. The writer, the Mark, the account of Mark, the story starts with, he tells us on that Saturday before that, the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, went out to purchase burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. And then the Bible tells us very early on Easter morning that the women were returned to the tomb where the lifeless body of Jesus was placed. They were going to roll the stone back and they were going to go in. They wondered about, I wonder what they were thinking about when they were walking to the tomb. And I wonder what they were, it says when they got there, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. And the tomb was open. John 20, 1 and 2 says on Sunday morning, says, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple and the one who Jesus loved. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know what they have done, where they have put him. And while Mary had gone to speak to Peter and John, the other two women entered the tomb and saw an angel who told them that Jesus had risen. In Mark 16, 5 and 7 tells us that the women were shocked. They were scared. They were shocked. But the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. Then the women also went to tell the disciples. Mary Magdalene had found Peter and John. She told them what she had seen and then returned to the tomb. It seems that Peter and John arrived before her, probably around early morning, around 6:30. John ran faster than Peter and arrived first. But they only looked in the tomb and he didn't enter it. When Peter came, he went straight into the tomb. And then John followed him. They saw the linen clothes lying together, the cloth that had been around his head of Jesus rolled up in a place by itself. John was the first apostle to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And after Peter and John left, Mary Magdalene arrived back at the tomb a second time. It was then that she saw Jesus and spoke to him. This was the first post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. It was probably around 7 in the morning when Jesus met the women as they were going to carry the apostles' news of the resurrection. And in Matthew 28, 8 and 10 says, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And as they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message, and as they went, Jesus met and greeted them. And as they ran to him, grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brother to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. And then Jesus appeared to Simon Peter as well. Jesus with two disciples, Cleophas and his companion, who were on their way to Emmaus. And in Luke 24, 13 and 34, the same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleophas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with the amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before earning his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey. Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us, since it's getting late. So they went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it, and he gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explain the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were all on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. So it is now. Jesus appears to the disciples except Thomas in the upper room, and a week later to the disciples, including Thomas. Think about that. What a day, right? What a day. He's dead. His body's gone. The angels say he's risen. Mary sees him. He's alive. All these things. Peter sees him. His friends see him. They speak to him and even invite him home for dinner. He's alive and the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. You know, that's certainly a lot to think about, isn't it? You know, the fears of the disciples were dispelled, I guess. And they became men of joy. I remember when I got saved, that was a joyful time. I remember that time when my eyes were opened and I knew Jesus for the first time. And I knew that I understood what it meant to be saved. I understood what the resurrection meant. I understood what forgiveness meant and salvation meant. You know, from the time of these disciples of Jesus Christ to the present day, the message of the resurrection of Jesus is proclaimed. His resurrection power is available to us today as it was then. And in many ways, our world is living under the same conditions today as those discouraged, depressed, and defeated disciples were on Friday. You know, we live in a world of discouragement. We live in a world that lacks hope. There's a lot of people who live in depressed states in their life. But let me tell you what, Resurrection Day can be here for you today. You can give all of that to Jesus today because we serve a risen Savior who can take all that away from you. He can carry your burdens. Amen. In Him we have faith, we have victory over sin, we have assurance in eternal life. And all you have to do is believe. John 20:29 says, "You believe because you have not seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Friends, I got to tell you this morning, Jesus is talking about us. He's talking about you and I. We believe in a Savior. We didn't get to witness what the disciples witnessed, but we believe in faith of the unseen. And faith brings dynamic power to our lives. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 says, concerning the great desire of his life, he said, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead." Amen. You want to experience that power this morning? It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead early on Easter morning is the same power that can raise you out of your sinful nature. All we have to do is trust Him. All we have to do is believe in Him. All we have to do is just reach out and claim it this morning. Amen. Amen. Christ deserves to be the Lord of our lives. Christ deserves to be the center point of your life. Think about what He did for you. Think about that today. But think, even though He suffered, He has risen. He has risen and He's alive today. May the risen Christ be real in your life this morning. May the risen Christ, amen, be in your heart today. Amen. I'd like to invite anybody who doesn't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, now's the time. It's a perfect time. It's a perfect day. Just make Him Lord of your life. And all you have to do is say, "I believe in You. I believe in You. I believe in Your resurrection." Just give your heart to Him this morning.